The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Program 2 hours ago, we had Brian Kelly on, the new LSU coach. Our first conversation with him after being introduced today in Baton Rouge. Joining us now, John Talty, the senior sports editor at AL.com. John, we've talked throughout the fall about these two massive coaching searches, L.A. with Southern Cal and LSU down in Baton Rouge. And I heard a million names for both jobs, but I'm not sure I heard Lincoln Riley at SC and Brian Kelly at LSU. How did this happen?
Well, Paul, if you remember, you and I talked on your show about Brian Kelly and LSU, and I think what I said, and maybe I have a little regret about it, I think I said, you know, don't aggregate me on this, but Brian Kelly fits what they're looking for. And now, you know, maybe I wish people did aggregate me, but, you know, looking back on it, people had told me early on in the search of LSU that, you know, not that Brian Kelly would be the guy, but that he fit the general model as to what Scott Woodward was looking for. He wanted a big name. And there was other, you know, the other kind of key thing there is that, you know, Scott Woodward has a great relationship with agent Trace Armstrong. And two of the names that I think were most associated with LSU at the end were Lincoln Riley and Brian Kelly, two Trace Armstrong clients. And so I think there's some of those things that happened to ultimately happen there as to why, you know, LSU got Brian Kelly. But still, I think shocked a lot of people, because I think even in the end, those last, you know, 24, 48 hours when his name started to get more buzz, you know, I talked to some Notre Dame people who thought that, you know, they've been through this before in the past. They thought, you know, maybe he wanted, you know, a raise. Maybe he wanted, you know, some facilities commitments to get some things that he wanted. I think we're a bit surprised that he ultimately decided to leave what is a very good situation at Notre Dame for LSU. But, you know, we knew from the get-go Scott Woodward wanted a big name hire, and he got it in Brian Kelly.
Ultimately, if you had to draw on a canvas how this search went with Scott Woodward, where do you think he started with Jimbo Fisher?
That's certainly what I think most people in the industry thought. You know, he was the name that was initially linked to the job. And I think that, you know, there's a good relationship there between Scott and Jimbo. He, of course, hired him at Texas A&M. And I think that, you know, at least from my understanding, I think that he at least gauged Jimbo's interest. And, you know, I remember, you know, there was some buzz about Jimbo's name. It was kind of the rumor that wouldn't go away. And I think, you know, Jimbo, to his credit, told people around him he was staying and wasn't going to leave. And ultimately, you know, of course, stayed at Texas A&M. But I do think there was some realness to that. And I think there are, you know, a few different names that got mentioned early on. I think Mel Tucker is another one that there was, I think, some truth behind. But certainly there was a group of names that he was very interested in. I think gauged where those people fell. And ultimately, Kelly was the one who fit kind of that duality of, you know, big name and also willing to say yes.
Of the people that you were talking to inside college football, what is their assessment of how he is going to fit in down there and do?
I think it's a fair question. And again, you know, talking to some of the people on the Notre Dame side of things the other day, I think it immediately was, this is a weird fit. You know, how does that make sense? And, you know, this doesn't seem to be maybe the best fit for his personality. But I do think that if you look at his track record of success, I think there's people that believe that, you know, he has a very high floor in terms of what he's going to be able to do at LSU. I think that ultimately in the SEC, it always comes back to recruiting. You know, I think if you look at the two guys who are coaching the SEC championship game this weekend, they believe more than anything you have to have the talent. Coaching comes second. And so I think that will be the number one question for Brian Kelly is, I know he's had some success recruiting down south, you know, getting some occasional guys here and there at Notre Dame, but it'll be different going head-to-head against Saban and Kirby and Jimbo and these other guys every single day for the top recruits. And so I think for me, the things that I'm watching in the coming days and weeks are, who does he put around him? Who does he have on his staff? I think he needs veteran SEC top-notch recruiters who know how to navigate things down south and know how to get top recruits, because that's the biggest thing. I think we know he can coach him up. We saw what he was able to do at Notre Dame in that regard, but we don't know how well he's going to be able to recruit in the SEC yet, and I think that's the thing that he needs to be able to prove moving forward, and it starts with hiring the right people.
1,000 things I want to ask you, John, but what's the latest in Norman? Where is their search?
It's a good question. I feel like there was a lot of buzz early on about, you know, Clemson defensive coordinator Brent Venables, and he's someone whose name has come up plenty in the past. You know, I remember just a year ago, he was somebody that Auburn was interested in interviewing. And ultimately, you know, Venables, you know, kind of pulled himself out of the running for that job, you know, really likes his situation at Clemson, you know, has two sons there, and I think just really enjoys working for Dabo. Of course, there are some, you know, very real connections back to Oklahoma. So I think that, you know, Venables is always going to be very tough to get out of Clemson. You know, I think that that's the name that people have kind of buzzed on in the last 48 hours. But I think, you know, no matter who it is, whether there's a strong relationship as there is with Oklahoma or just, you know, a random school, it's always going to be tough to get him out of Clemson. And so that's one I think that's worth watching. But there's a couple different names that I think people, you know, that could possibly fit, you know, with that Oklahoma spot. It's going to be a very important hire, though, because, you know, as we know, Paul, a couple years down the line, they're heading into the SEC, and you really want to make sure you have the right person in place who can help you be competitive from the minute you walk into the SEC. And getting this hire wrong could really put them behind the eight ball, because we know that plenty of other schools, including LSU, you know, are going to be competing at the highest levels.
And I realize we're still in the moment, and sometimes these things do look grim, but it just seems like the value of that brand has taken a beating this week.
I think it, you know, I think it's going to be interesting to see what the long-term effects of all this are. You know, I think it made a lot of sense, you know, to join the SEC. But I think that, you know, it's been talked about, I think, in the last, you know, a couple of days with Lincoln Riley going to USC, that, you know, it's that path for them has gotten harder. You know, especially we'll see. I think eventually we're going to get college football playoff expansion. I know it didn't come again today. We got more gray smoke, but I think eventually people expect it to expand. And then when that happens, maybe it gets a little bit easier. But, you know, if somehow we stay at four teams, which again, I don't think we will, that path for the playoff gets incredibly more difficult for Oklahoma than it was coming out of the Big 12, where, you know, they had a pretty good shot every single year to make it into the playoff coming out of the Big 12. So I think that, you know, there's been a bit of an ego hit, I think, for Oklahoma people this year. I don't think that they believe they could ever lose a coach like Lincoln Riley to another school. And so, you know, I think they're coming to grips with that. I don't know if they've come to grips yet, but we'll see who they end up hiring and, you know, how they feel moving forward.
John Talty with us from AL.com. John, I sat with Brian Harsin Friday afternoon and Saturday morning. He seemed relaxed. He was ready to take on Alabama, and everything seemed really good until it didn't. Since then, he fired his coordinator. People are shaking their head over some inexplicable decisions. What's the mood in Alabama right now toward Brian Harsin?
Yeah, I think the best way of putting it is that, you know, change is happening right now. I think that you saw already with Mike Bobo being let go. So we're going to see a new offensive coordinator. We've seen, you know, I believe five guys already going to the transfer portal. I don't believe that will be the end. There have been some big names rumored to possibly be going in at some point as well. We saw starting quarterback Bo Nix say earlier this week that, you know, he's considering all his options, which could potentially include transferring at some point too, which I think couple years back would have been shocking given his, you know, long-standing ties back to Auburn through his dad and being a five-star recruit and all those things. So there's a lot going on. There's a lot of upheaval right now in Auburn, and it's going to be critical for Harsin to do a couple things. He's got to hire the right person at offensive coordinator. They've been through so many different offensive coordinators the last 5 years, five and five, which is incredible to think about. And when you have that lack of continuity, that's when you see issues. And I think the offense has been bad most of those years. And that's not all on Harsin. Of course, Gus was before him, but he's got to get that hire right. And, you know, we've got 2 weeks, 14 days until the early signing period. He has to finish strong down the stretch. And we haven't seen it happen yet. I know they're in the mix with some good recruits. He's got to get some of those guys in the mix and signed up. Otherwise, you know, I think there's, you know, a negative future ahead for him in some regard if he can't, you know, get the right hire and can't finish strong recruiting, because he's going to lose probably some talented guys in the transfer portal in the next couple of weeks.
Let's get to Saturday, and it's remarkable. We're 10 minutes into this conversation, and this is the first time I'm mentioning the game of the year in the SEC. But John, I think that just is indicative of how crazy this week has been. Let's talk about first of all, Alabama and Nick Saban. There are a lot of fans have been up in arms over his coordinators. Maybe things have calmed down as we get ready for Saturday. But if this game doesn't go well, what do you expect on Nick Saban's staff?
Yeah, I think that, you know, Pete Golding got a reprieve. That defense played incredible against Auburn. Really kept them in that game and gave them a chance to win at the end. But as you know, Paul, you know, a couple touchdowns given up to Georgia and fans will be ready to get rid of them just like they have earlier in the year. So I think what's been very interesting, I think, about this game, you can look at both sides too. The four coordinators in it have all been mentioned for head coaching jobs in the last week or so. So you've got Bill O'Brien and Pete Golding on the Alabama side, and then you've got Todd Monken and Dan Lanning on the Georgia side. All of those guys are either in the mix or going to be in the mix for head coaching jobs. So I think we could see both sides of this game see some upheaval in their staffing in the weeks to come, but I think potentially for different reasons. You know, I think if Alabama is to lose this SEC championship game and, you know, most likely not make the playoff unless we see some real chaos over the weekend, I do think you will see staff changes. We've seen that pretty much every offseason now, whether it's, you know, they win big, they lose a bunch of guys who get, you know, head coaching jobs. If they lose, then you see some guys get nudged out as, you know, Nick Saban's never willing to just accept the status quo. So I think that this could be one of the busier offseasons. I think there's a couple guys, again, that have been rumored for other jobs that will continue to see their names mentioned elsewhere. And, you know, I think in the days and weeks following this weekend, I think you'll see some stuff happen.
John, before you go, we hear from fans here, but it's a small sample. You live in Alabama. You talk to fans either in person or through social media. You have an excellent read. What is the mindset of this Alabama fan base heading into a game where they are an underdog and very few pundits believe they're going to win?
Paul, I feel like these questions always get me in trouble because I give an answer and say that it's one way or another, and then I feel like the game happens completely differently. It's happened to me, I think, numerous times on your show so far this year.
That's what I ask.
I guess I'll give the best. Yeah, well, maybe this is a little reverse jinx or something here. But I think that, generally speaking, I think that, you know, most Alabama fans are a bit discouraged about this game. I don't think that there's the typical confidence that you would have heading into an SEC championship. I think there's optimism. I think that there's a belief, you know, if Bryce can have a huge game, if the defense can slow down Bennett and just keep it in a one-score game late into the game, maybe something could happen. But there's not the usual uber confidence that you have knowing, all right, of course we're going to win. Of course we're going to the playoff. I think there's more people trying to figure out the math of, all right, what has to happen, assuming we lose, for us to still get into the playoffs. So it's definitely a different mood than I think typically heading into an SEC championship game. I can't really think of an SEC championship game, honestly, in a while that Alabama's kind of fan base mindset has been like this. But I think that there's still some optimism. You know, I think they've put themselves in a position, and, you know, now they just have to go out and execute.
Finally, a Notre Dame question, and we've been watching Notre Dame all afternoon long to see what's going to happen because Brian Kelly told us that his staffing situation is complicated right now. What he meant by that was if Marcus Freeman doesn't get the head coaching job there, he's clearly going to Baton Rouge. What do you know about Marcus Freeman, and what kind of move would that be if Notre Dame named him head coach?
Well, Paul, I'll say this, you know, not to kind of call you out here, but I would say it's not definite that Marcus Freeman will go to LSU if he doesn't get the Notre Dame job. I think he's up for some other jobs as well, Duke being one of them potentially if he's interested in it. I think he's going to have multiple opportunities potentially, even at the head coaching level. So I don't think it's a guarantee he goes to Baton Rouge either way. But it does put them in a tough spot, and I feel like, you know, to kind of tie it all back together, I can remember the Georgia situation when Kirby Smart was about to go to South Carolina, and they had Mark Richt, and, you know, they had done well, but maybe not well enough. And it kind of pushed Georgia that if you want this guy, you kind of have to hire him now, because otherwise you might miss your window to hire him. And I think we're kind of at that point with Marcus Freeman that, you know, maybe he could go to Cincinnati and replace Luke Fickell if Notre Dame were to hire Fickell. But generally speaking, you know, if you hire the right guy here, you might not get another shot at Marcus Freeman. And he is very well liked there. Clearly, the players like him a lot. There's a push for him right now. So it's a very tricky situation for Notre Dame to navigate right now. But I think, you know, sometimes it's, you know, there's smoke screens and things like that. Sometimes it's obvious. I think the Notre Dame search, generally speaking, when you talk to people, most people think it's either going to be Luke Fickell, Matt Campbell, or Marcus Freeman. I think, you know, good options all the way around. Fickle, there's a timing issue. But it's a situation that, you know, that Jack is going to have to really think about, because, you know, there's a risk hiring somebody like Marcus with no head coaching experience compared to some of the, you know, high-level guys that people believe to have interest in that job.
Yeah, I don't want to say it would be the most shocking hire in Notre Dame history, because they did hire a high school coach, Jerry Faust, from Cincinnati Moeller about 40 years ago. But it would still catch you're aware. You talk to people every hour. But, I mean, if you're walking down the streets of New York or L.A. and you look at your phone and it says Notre Dame hires Marcus Freeman, you're likely to drop it.
Well, think about a year ago, Paul, when Marcus Freeman was debating whether to go to LSU or Notre Dame. If you told me a year ago Marcus Freeman, you know, at the end of 2021 was the Notre Dame head coach, I think I'd be absolutely stunned. I think we all would be. I'd be like, wait, what did they get turned down by 15 people? Like, how did they end up with Marcus Freeman as their head coach? And I think it speaks to how good of a job he's done and how well he's integrated himself with key people at Notre Dame, including players. But I do think that, you know, if people believe they have a good shot at some, you know, up and coming or already established head coaches like Fickell and Campbell, to go for Marcus Freeman, I think, would surprise people. But, you know, I think, again, Notre Dame's in a very good position. I honestly think they're in a better position than Oklahoma is right now in terms of getting a really high level head coach.
Well done, John Talty, with the latest information on about 10,000 different openings. John, we'll see you in Atlanta. Thanks so much for being on the program, and we are heading to a break as we follow the Marcus Freeman story. It is true that Kelly wants to hire him. John's right. This guy's stock is soaring at the moment. So if Notre Dame is not the choice, the pond is pretty full of suitors. We'll take a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hey, welcome back. We get to the calls, and L.A. is up next in South Bend. Good afternoon to you.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul, and you're doing a great job. I always value your opinion. Let me give people this breaking news. It's not official, but the buzz in South Bend, which all of us here, we've kind of known. When Marcus Freeman came there, he brought a tremendous amount of speed, athleticism to that defense, which Notre Dame hasn't had since Lou Holtz. The word is that they've had a contingency plan. So evidently, in his press conference, the athletic director, he felt something wasn't right, as he said, and he never really – Notre Dame – now, look, NBC is a partner with Notre Dame. They could have matched that if they wanted to. Notre Dame's like Pittsburgh, like my Steelers. They're not shelling out all that kind of money for a coach when they have Marcus Freeman. Now everybody wants to come to Notre Dame because this guy is a tremendous recruiter. He's 35 years old. The Board of Trustees, he has major favor at Notre Dame. And they're looking probably by the weekend, they said, the local TV station here, that hopefully by the weekend,
well,
they're trying
Ellie,
to get him locked
up. Let me jump
up
in here for a second, and I'm not there, you are, but I don't think this is something that's going to last very long. The old days when you have a bunch of meetings. I think you have to make a decision pretty quickly here, because right now you have Marcus Freeman suspended in air. He's essentially running that program from a recruiting standpoint, which is all that matters at the moment. And you have to let him know. And I'm sure if I were representing him, I would say to Jack Swarbrick, listen, we appreciate the interview, but we need an answer here in a relatively short period of time. Otherwise, we either go to LSU, we go someplace that's offered us a head coaching position, but we're not staying here unless you let us know.
Exactly. And I think that it's the money situation, Paul, with the Board of Trustees and the years. I would like to see Notre Dame just hit him in the mouth, give him 7 years and $75 million.
Well, you have to. And, you know, whether it's the right thing to do or not, and every time one of these coaches gets fired, somebody calls and says, why did they give him that much money? Because you're fighting the market right now, and the market is absolutely out of control. So if you decide, okay, we're going to be responsible and fiscal, you're going to end up losing your guy. And it's the way, markets don't always go in this direction, but for college football right now, it's on fire.
You are exactly correct. Notre Dame's strength, you can go out there and look on it. It's on YouTube, I believe. The strength and conditioning coach told the players yesterday while they were working out, and they got it all on tape where you can go see it, that he wanted to – his plan was – now, this is what kind of leaked it out – was to stay there. He wanted to see this team win. They showed Kyle Hamilton, some other, you know, he's a top five pick if he comes out. These guys are jacked up, Paul. They are hurt.
No, I've kept up with it, LA. But what you also have to do is you cannot make a decision in the moment. Too often, athletic directors hire the coach that is trending on Twitter, and they pay a heavy price for that later on. Swarbrick's not that type of athletic director. He's fully in charge. And I just think he'll come to a conclusion pretty quickly. There's only so much you can't say, okay, let's have a retreat this weekend at the 4-H club and see what we think. College football moves very quickly right now, whether any of us like it or not. We just got through watching this all week. Harvey is in Oklahoma. Hello, Harvey. You're on the air.
Hello, Paul. Thanks what you do for college football.
Thank you.
First time caller. Paul, today I was reading, I guess it was a Google interview or something, but it showed where Barry Switzer was interviewed and asked, of course, who he thought should be the new coach for Oklahoma. And his idea was Mike Leach.
Right.
And that's where Lincoln Riley started. A lot of people didn't even know that. I had a few people around me there at Norman today, and they were even argumentative about it, saying that had never happened, and they looked it up, and they did. And anyway, Barry Switzer's idea is that you need to score a lot of points. And what do you see in that as far as – is that
well,
even a possibility?
Listen, has it been thrown out? There's nobody better than Barry Switzer when it comes to understanding Oklahoma football. And I understand why he wants Mike Leach. He's highly thought of. And certainly his track record at Oklahoma was exemplary. I doubt that will happen, but I thought it was fascinating Barry's unfiltered. Nobody's ever going to get a namby-pamby answer from him. We'll take a break. More to come. Final 30 minutes.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we're back. Let's continue. Bill is up next in Ohio. Hello, Bill.
Hi, Paul. Man, I really need you to help me make sense of it all, that's for sure.
Sure.
I don't want to insult anybody in Louisiana, but did they really believe that crap that he was, that coach speak he was spewing out at them? That's the same thing we heard up here. Oh, I know the standards. We're playing for championships. That's all we could ever play for. And we've heard it for 12 years, and we've got none of that here. We've got no championships, and we've got no standards. I mean, were they really inspired by that?
Well, Bill, you understand this. Fans are fans, and even if they hated the guy yesterday, if he's their coach, they're going to love him today.
All right, well.
I take it you're a Notre Dame fan? I take it you are.
Well, yeah.
And yeah. Could I ask you, what specifically about Brian Kelly don't you like? Other than he left Notre Dame.
No, I never liked his personality.
Oh, okay.
We all saw it years ago, remember? He couldn't even be shown on camera because he was, degrading his players and yelling at them and red-faced. He was embarrassing. He is. That's him. That's his personality. I mean, we may end up hearing a headline down there where coach comes up missing and you may never hear of him again if he acts that way down there.
Yeah,
that's all I can say.
Okay, well, thank you. Not a happy Notre Dame customer there, but, yeah, I don't know. I mean, there are plenty of things in the past that I would agree with you on. I think Brian Kelly went through a rough patch at Notre Dame. I have felt, and I've known him over the years. I first met him when Notre Dame was playing Alabama, and I have found the latter Brian Kelly to be a lot more congenial than I did maybe the 2013 or 14 or 15 Brian Kelly. Bill is up next in Alabama. Hello, Bill.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you.
Yeah, it's funny you brought up about leaving to go to Jocks. And the worst thing about that is you lost your guy who did the intro where most football coaches are fired. I wish you could replay that again.
Oh, yeah. That was that was a traumatic change in my life, but I will never look back. It was probably the best thing I ever did. Yeah, we used to. That used to be the introduction to the show, which we caught a lot of flack for. I think it said where football coaches are fired. We don't have that anymore. Now it's Call Paul. He'll make sense out of it all. We go to New Jersey, and another Paul is calling. Hello, Paul.
Well, hi, Paul. How are you?
We are great. Thank you.
Good. I'm on delayed broadcasting, and I just heard someone from, I think it was Ohio, giving his take with LSU. And, I was never a big fan of Coach Kelly's personality. But, coaches aren't known for personalities. I mean, look at Nick Saban at Alabama. They're looked at their coaching abilities. And, Kelly had a great record in Cincinnati, even though I was never a Cincinnati fan. I didn't particularly enjoy watching him coach Notre Dame, but I've been an LSU fan for a couple of decades now, and I don't have a problem with him. I mean, he was only able to go so far at Notre Dame. Notre Dame has very stringent academic requirements, and, from what I understand, he tried to have that changed. And it wasn't going to happen, so he saw this as a good opportunity. And I think they're I think within maybe 3 or 4 years, they'll be primed for a national championship.
Yeah, I think for sure. We always have to remember how we got to this point. It was 2 years ago LSU won the title, but since then I think they're 11-11, and that's why the change was made. And I think Brian Kelly is an elite coach, but
definitely
he's in a dangerous neighborhood.
Oh, it's a very hot conference down there.
But it can be done though. I mean, there's some places that.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. I don't care. Cincinnati's one of those. I'm sorry. It's a great school. Kelly did a great job there. A lot of other people have as well, including Luke Fickell. But they're not going to win a national championship. I know somebody's probably clipping that right now, and we'll replay it on January 10th.
Oh, I agree with you. No, I agree with you. I have a lot of respect for the coach and his program. But, he's going up against the bad boys. And, I just don't see it happening. And I just have one quick question for you because I don't want to hog up the airline too much. Who do you favor as a coach for Oklahoma?
I think that's the toughest one on the board to answer. I asked John Talty a minute ago who swims in this stuff every hour. And, I thought the name of Venables was interesting. I would struggle to make him my coach, and it's not personal. It's just as good a defensive coordinator as he is, I wonder about him as a head coach. And it's been 4 days since Lincoln Riley left. So what does that tell us?
Mm-hmm.
That tells us they're being deliberate. And it could also mean this, that they're waiting on somebody else. So, there are not that many choices to choose from this weekend. I know Matt Campbell's name is, maybe Matt Campbell has told them, listen, I'm not giving you an answer until I hear from Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame could very well fall sooner than later. But I'm having a hard time giving you a name that's going to resonate.
What's your thoughts about, I forget his name. The ex-coach of Auburn, Gus
Malzahn.
Malzahn
went to UCF, and
right.
I wouldn't expect him to surface anywhere else. Now, I will tell you this: there's been some speculation today that's now been shot down. That maybe one reason why Oklahoma has been holding out is that they made an overture to Matt Rhule, who is a fabulous college coach, mediocre as an NFL coach, but he was at Temple where he put that program on the map, and then, of course, what he did at Baylor. He's the coach of the Carolina Panthers, which is a franchise that has absolutely imploded. Joe Brady is his offensive coordinator, and there are already speculation in the media in Carolina that he's on his way out. So I think that could have held things up because you're talking to an active NFL coach. But I know Bruce Feldman reported this afternoon, and he knows a lot more than I do. I don't know anything that he didn't think that was going to happen. Let's take a break. More to come here in the final few minutes of the show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
And welcome back. Jerry is up next in Louisiana. Hello, Jerry.
How are you doing, Paul?
We are doing great.
I wanted to bring up, everybody's talking about how Brian Kelly left Notre Dame. I'm a lifetime lover of Alabama football. And I remember when Dennis Franchione walked out on Alabama and didn't even tell the players. And then on the other hand, you had Mike Price, when he left Washington State and came to Alabama, he actually met with his players and told them that he was interviewing for the job.
Jerry, I believe Mike Price coached in the Rose Bowl.
He sure did.
He lost. And
his players wanted him to coach.
I distinctly remember, because I was glued. Yeah, I mean, here we are. We're complimenting Mike Price on how he handled things. But, Franchoni's leaving Alabama is one of the sleaziest things I've ever seen.
Absolutely, and he paid for it, too.
He did. No, he was never the same. He was a disaster from the moment he got off that plane. And, what was really interesting is that Alabama people really liked him. I never understood why, but they did.
I don't know. But we'll never know.
No, I've never talked to him since and have no intention of. Hey, thank you for the call. John is up next in Ohio. Hello, John.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm a lifelong Notre Dame fan, and now that the shock is done with Kelly, thinking about it, I think he did us a favor, because if he waits till the season's over, we probably don't have Freeman available to go get.
You're probably first of all, you just can't. And there's a lot of pros and cons of the new early signing period, but the early signing period is the reason why you're seeing all this chaos, because you have to, we're 2 weeks over, 2 weeks from today, players can sign, and about 80% or 90% do. So if you drag your feet, you miss out on everyone.
Yeah, and I really hope they do hire Freeman, because I think it could be devastating if we lose him.
Yeah, no, I my gut feeling right now is they probably will. And sometimes the immediate seems to supersede. There's no such thing as long-term planning anymore in the world. It's just grab it.
So, okay, that's about it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Great to have you on. Let's check in with Mike in Los Angeles. Hello, Mike.
Afternoon, Paul. During this Thanksgiving and Christmas season, as a Tennessee fan, I'm sure you can appreciate, I'm just glad to have a coach, a coaching staff, and a bunch of three-star recruits and a 7-5 record.
It's pretty remarkable when you consider a year ago, Tennessee was besieged with rumors, but not yet, but I think we weren't far away from the moment. Maybe it was happening. I think it happened right toward the end of the season when all the rumors started flying about Jeremy Pruitt, and finally, a month later, he was gone.
Yeah, and, I've been worried a little bit about hype. Well, if Fickell goes to Notre Dame, and I know that Venables and other names are high up and he's low, but, Tennessee, we've been such a dumpster fire since we fired Fulmer that, anything could happen. As a Tennessee fan, we're just so shell-shocked, I guess, kind of PTSD. If we just get if the only thing we lose is maybe defensive coordinator Banks goes somewhere and we get to keep most of our recruiting class and Heupel and Hooker and Tillman come back, I think it's a good holiday season.
Mike, great to hear from you. Thank you very, very much. Teddy is in Georgia. Hello, Teddy.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
Hey, first time, long time.
Thank you.
First thing I'd like to comment is on Brian Kelly. I've been respecting him. I'm a big Bulldog fan, but I've respected him for years. He is a winner everywhere he's went. So I think it's a really good hire for LSU. I really do. And I think he can recruit. I think he can do it. He's won everywhere. And everybody talks about Notre Dame. He didn't win a national championship, but the academics is a little different there.
They're significantly different there. You're right, and it's always an issue, and you have to try to circumvent it any way you can. Thank you for the call. Good to hear from you. Greg is in New Mexico. Hello, Greg.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Very well.
Say, Paul, I got a perfect fit up there in South Bend.
Okay.
He's just got to go about a 20-minute plane ride, Sorbuck, down to West Lafayette and hire the man at Purdue.
He's a good coach. I like him.
The man at Purdue.
Jeff Brom, yeah,
took
I remember,
Purdue from.
He had a couple of really big wins this year.
Yeah, and he had Iowa and Michigan State this year. A couple of years ago, he had Ohio State. He took Purdue from ashes from the bottom of the Big Ten to.
And not only that,
I've
always been impressed by what he did. When was it, last year or the year before, when he turned down his alma mater, which is hard to do.
Right. They paid him a lot of money, and he had a lot of recruits there that he, you know, promised he'd be there. But he's a modern-day Steve Spurrier. The guy was a great quarterback in college.
Oh, yeah.
He's proved it, you know, at Purdue that he can – he can coach. Notre Dame needs a quarterback coach. They need a quarterback, and that guy can do it.
Well, I think right now they're struggling. I don't know if they're struggling. They maybe name the guy tonight. But this, you know, the Marcus Freeman is being pushed by the players. He has great respect. He's young, but I don't think age really matters. Lincoln Riley's 38, and he's been to the playoffs three times. So I think that's really the dilemma that Notre Dame is in tonight. And it's not an easy decision, because if you don't choose him, you not only lose him from your staff, he goes to be a head coach, or he follows Kelly, or he goes somewhere. He's only been there a year or two.
Right.
You end up, you know, taking a dangerous path with your recruiting class. Yeah, I remember last year. That was the hottest assistant coach battle of the year, and it may have cost Ed Ogeron. Ogeron tried desperately to hire him, and at one time it looked like he had landed him, and then Notre Dame was able to sign him up. We're out of time. Appreciate Coach Kelly joining us. We will do this again tomorrow. Have a great night.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.